We're back on our journey through the Minor Prophets. So far we've been through Obadiah, Joel, Jonah and Amos, and today we hit Hosea. So we're doing okay. We're going to tackle Hosea in a slightly different way. And we're going to take Hosea in seven quite big chunks, some bigger than others. And I'm not going to do too much in the background because we've got quite a lot of that already in our introductory notes to the Minor Prophets outline, which is online, and I noticed that from months ago, Glyn's dragged out the last copies we had printed out. So if you want one, you haven't got one, they're on the back table. Basically, though, if you want a bit about Hosea before we start, and you haven't read that, then he's speaking to the northern kingdom of Israel. It's at roughly the same time as Amos, which is about 760 BC. So what we'll do is we'll check out the text, and it's not all up on the screen because there's far too much of it. I'll be flicking around all over the place, so you will need your Bibles. Verse 1, always a good place to start, I've found. The Lord gave this message to Hosea, son of Beeri. So his dad was Beeri, which sounds a great name for a pub landlord, doesn't it? But actually, Hosea had a better name. Hosea's name means salvation. It was during the years when Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah were kings in Judah, and Jeroboam, son of Joash, was king of Israel. So we know from this, as well as other history, that this was just before the northern kingdom was hauled off by the Assyrians. So Hosea's message is about judgment. Yippee, we love that, don't we? But it is also about an incredible love. It's a message of God's incredible love. To the people of the day, the idea of judgment would have seemed really crazy because they could see no obvious threat. They were doing all right for themselves, they thought. Yet even during Hosea's ministry, the Assyrians would begin to pick off major cities one at a time. Damascus would fall in 734 BC. Megiddo, that would fall in 732 BC. And 10 years later, Israel would cop it. So it was quite a timely message. But then God's messages always are. See, although Israel were doing okay materially, Hosea came with the message they also heard from Amos. I don't know whether you can remember that message, hopefully you can, but basically they were spiritually bankrupt. They might have had plenty of dosh in the bank, but spiritually they were bankrupt. When the Lord first began speaking to Israel through Hosea, he said to him, "Go and marry a prostitute," lovely, "so that some of her children will be conceived in prostitution. This will illustrate how Israel has acted like a prostitute by turning against the Lord and worshipping other gods." You don't expect that, do you, when you say, "Lord, use me as you will"? I bet Hosea, if he prayed that, is thinking, "He'll use me as you will." What? Yeah, you heard right. Hosea is told to marry the local tart and to bring up children with her, children who may or may not biologically be his. Probably, on the balance of probability, the majority of them won't be. Why would God ask that of him? Because his life is to be a living picture of God's relationship with his people. Hosea is representing God. God has a covenant, a kind of marriage with his people, but God's people have been unfaithful to him. More like a prostitute than a wife. So how is God going to treat these unfaithful people? Well, hopefully you and I won't be asked to do what Hosea had to do. But the fact is, our lives are God's favourite way of showing the world what he is like. 2 Corinthians 3:3 reminds us, "You're a letter from Christ showing the result of our ministry. This letter is written out, not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts." They say, don't they, that a picture is worth 1,000 words. And some people will actually prefer picture books. So remember, your life is those pictures. And that picture book Bible of your life may be the only Bible that some people will ever read. Verse 3, so Hosea married Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim. She became pregnant and gave Hosea a son. And the Lord said, name the child Jezreel, for I am about to punish King Jehu's dynasty to avenge the murders he committed at Jezreel. In fact, I will bring an end to Israel's independence. I will break its military power in the Jezreel Valley. You know, sometimes prophets will name their child because the name itself means something. But here, the importance of Jezreel's name isn't its meaning. Because Jezreel was the name of a city where dodgy King Ahab had his holiday home. And it was there that he and his wife Jezebel, and in fact all his descendants, well, they were all murdered. And God says in this that what's going to happen, that is his blood, the bloodshed there is going to be avenged. Now, interestingly, God actually told the person to do the killing. And there's a whole new, another sermon all about why it's that person is being judged. But basically he's saying, this happened, it's going to be avenged. And if you're a Bible geek, which I hope more and more of you are becoming, so Jezreel is also the name of the valley where the city of Megiddo was. And it's in that valley where the future battle of Armageddon will take place. Soon Gomer became pregnant again and gave birth to a daughter. And the Lord said to Hosea, name your daughter Lo-Ruhamah, not loved, for I will no longer show love to the people of Israel or forgive them. Lo-Ruhamah, not loved, or in fact, no mercy. It means the same thing. It's a pretty tragic name, isn't it, to be giving your baby daughter. She's a reminder that God would have no mercy on Israel if they insist on living in sin. But I will show love to the people of Judah. I will free them from their enemies, not with weapons and armies or horses or charioteers, but with the power, with my power, as the Lord their God. Why did Judah get saved by God? Well, if you check out Isaiah 36:37, you'll find that, as Hosea said, even though the northern kingdom be wiped out by the Assyrians, the southern kingdom wasn't taken away quite yet. When the Assyrians came against Hezekiah at Jerusalem, God promised that he would save the city. Why? Because the people trusted him. There was a difference. The people trusted God, and therefore the country was safe. What happens to a country where the people don't trust God? Not so safe. Trusted God, and he prayed. Hezekiah prayed, and God sent an angel that wiped out 185,000 Assyrians in a single night. It's not bad, is it? You see the power of faithful prayer? After Gomer had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she again became pregnant and gave birth to a second son. And the Lord said, name him Lo-Ami, not my people, for Israel is not my people and I am not their God. And that's another pretty grim name, isn't it? But you know, ironically, it's very likely that this boy wasn't Hosea's son. He could have been one of any number of blokes' sons, couldn't he? Gomer had been sleeping with so many, could have been anyone. So for Hosea, the name was probably quite apt. Not mine. Yet the time will come when Israel's people will be like the sands of the seashore, too many to count. Then, at the place where they were told, you are not my people, it will be said, you are the children of the living God. Then the people of Judah and Israel will unite together. They will choose one leader for themselves, and they will return from exile together. I don't know whether you've noticed, but one day in 1948, God put Israel, both nation and people, back on the map. Have you noticed that he's gathering the Jews back into their land at a huge rate? You probably haven't, because it's not something that is very much publicised. And you might not be aware, because the BBC isn't that keen on mentioning it either. Neither the ITV come to that, or Channel 4, or any other kind of news that's in the Western world. But the influx of Islam into the EU has actually meant that thousands of Jews are no longer safe. They are not feeling safe, and they're not safe. and they are travelling back to Israel. There is a huge outpouring of Jewish people, particularly from France and Germany, will have had the biggest impact. But there are those who are leaving from the UK as well. Back to Israel. What a day that will be, the day of Jezreel, when God again will plant his people in his land. There's a point here to the end of time, the battle of Armageddon, which, as mentioned earlier, will be in Jezreel. And if you've not heard of it, it's when the nations of the world will all gather to fight against Messiah, against Christ. Guess who wins? Chapter 2. In that day, you will call your brother Ami, my people, and you will call your sisters Ruhamah, the ones I love, the ones I have mercy on. So here we see the complete opposite to those nasty names for Hosea's children. So let me just remind you something here, because there's a turnaround here, isn't there? I want to take this opportunity to remind us that God's not finished yet. Whatever situation you're in at the moment, God is not finished with you. I don't know how your walk with the Lord is going. Sometimes all we can think about is how we have failed God, and we should think about that if we have. It's hard to see past our guilt, but we should not live in the past. We should not let the past hold us back. Because that is not what God wants. God is not finished with you yet. He certainly isn't finished with the nation of Israel either. Take heart from Philippians 1:6, which says, I'm certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. There's a lot of work to be done. Don't give up. If you keep going, God will certainly keep going with you. But now bring charges against Israel, your mother, for she is no longer my wife, and I'm no longer her husband. Tell her to remove the prostitute's makeup from her face and the clothing that exposes her breasts. It seems that after maternity leave, Gomer's gone back to work as a prostitute. And here's a picture of Hosea experiencing exactly what God has been experiencing, what God is going through, as you and I, as his people, have walked away from him at times. That's what God goes through. It's worse than a slap in the face. As his people have prostituted themselves to all sorts of material and spiritual other things. Now, sadly, some of you will know what it's like to have been betrayed by the one that you love most. That is exactly what God experiences when you and I walk away from him. When we deliberately do the things we know we shouldn't do. That's what he experiences. You're his most treasured possession. Just let that sink in a little bit. You are his most treasured possession. When you're feeling pretty grim, when life is pretty bad, when you're struggling to work out what God's up to, just say to yourself, I am his most treasured possession. I don't think we grasp that fact nearly enough. That is how much he loves you, as much as his most treasured possession. And here's something for you if you're hurting because of betrayal. God knows exactly what you're going through, what you've gone through. You can talk to him about it, because he gets it. As well as all the emotional stuff here, we shouldn't miss the fact that Hosea's language is legal. It is talking of divorce. He's got to the stage where enough is enough. As we read on, we'll find that there is a blurring of the lines between God and Israel and Hosea and Gomer. Otherwise, I will strip her as naked as the day she was born. I will leave her to die of thirst as in dry and barren wilderness. And I will not love her children, for they were conceived in prostitution. Their mother is a shameless prostitute and became pregnant in a shameful way. She said, I'll run after other lovers and sell myself to them for food and water, for clothing and wool and linen, for olive oil and for drinks. Israel's other lovers were gods that they worshipped instead of Yahweh, I wonder what your other lovers are. For this reason, I will fence her in with thorn bushes. I will block her path with a wall to make her lose her way. When she runs after her lovers, she won't be able to catch them. She will search for them but will not find them. Then she will think, I might as well return to my husband, for I was better off with him than I am now. So she wants her husband to take her back. I wonder how you feel about that. How many blokes has she slept with? What state was she in? She wants her husband to take her back, just like any backslidden Christian who comes face to face with their sin. And we want Jesus to take us back. She doesn't realize it was I who gave her everything she has, the grain, the new wine, the olive oil. I even gave her silver and gold. But she gave all my gifts to Baal. But now I will take back the ripened grain, the new wine I generously provided each harvest season. I will take away the wool and the linen clothing I gave her to cover her nakedness. I will strip her naked in public while all her lovers look on. No one will be able to rescue her from my hands. I will put an end to her annual feast, her new moon celebrations, and her Sabbath days, and all her appointed festivals. I will destroy the grapevines, the fig trees, the things she claims her lovers gave her. I will let them grow into tangled thickets where only wild animals will eat the fruit. I will punish her for all the times when she burned incense to her images of Baal, when she put on her earrings and jewels and went out to look for her lovers, but forgot all about me, says the Lord. Sometimes people come to us, don't they, who have behaved really badly or who are behaving really badly. And we do everything we can to save them from suffering the consequences of their actions. We do that, don't we? But God says that is often not the best thing. That's tough, isn't it? Yes, it is. But you see, there is a time for mercy, and Hosea will show us that. But we need to be careful not to get in the way of God. When God wants to make things difficult for people because of their bad behaviour, when God wants to say, you've done all of this stuff, stop looking back and stop going back to it, get away from it, but those people keep going back, God will let them until they get to the bottom, until they stop looking back and we'll look to him. We mustn't get in the way of that. It's important for us to remember that sometimes God allows trouble to come our way so that he will wake us up and turn us around. He doesn't want to cause us trouble, but he'll let it happen if that's the best thing. Hebrews 12, 5 and 6. Have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline and don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. It is because God loves us that he allows us to experience that trouble. Sometimes we need to learn to back away and allow people to experience the trouble and the consequences of their sins. Not out of anger, not out of laziness, not out of a lack of compassion, but out of love. But then I will win her back once again. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her there. I will return her vineyards to her and transform the valley of trouble into a gateway of hope. She will give herself to me there as she did long ago when she was young, when I freed her from the captivity in Egypt. Well, the valley of trouble was called Achor. And if you want to find out why it was called that, you'll need to check that out in Joshua chapter 7, but do it later, because we haven't got time now. But here's the lesson. When you're in trouble because of your sin, you have to take responsibility for it, and you have to decide what to do about it. Nobody else can do that for you. If you make the right choice, you'll choose to deal with your sin, and you'll turn away from it. And then, and only then, will you find the gateway out, the gateway of hope. When that day comes, says the Lord, you will call me my husband instead of my master. Well, it seems to me that for Hosea and Gomer, there'd been a shift in their relationship as well, a shift away from Hosea being master to being her husband. And in a marriage, a husband is always better than a master. O Israel, I will wipe the many names of Baal from your lips, and you will never mention them again. I wonder if there are desires or words that need wiping away from our lips or our hearts. What is more important to you than Jesus? On that day I will make a covenant with all the wild animals and the birds of the sky, the animals that scurry along the ground so that will not harm you. I will remove all weapons of war from the land, all swords and bows, so that you can live unafraid in peace and safety. I will make you my wife forever, showing you righteousness and justice, unfailing love and compassion. I will be faithful to you and make you mine, and you will finally know me as the Lord. Isn't that a stunning promise? Especially when it is made to unfaithful people like you and me. That's incredible. In that day I will answer, says the Lord. I will answer the sky as it pleads for clouds. And the sky will answer the earth with rain. And the earth will answer the thirsty cries of the grain and the grapevines and the olive trees. And they will turn, and in turn they will answer, Jezreel, God plants. At that time I will plant a crop of Israelites. I will raise them for myself. I will show love to those called not loved. And to those called not my people, I will say, now you are my people. And they will reply, you are my God. The daughter not loved will now be called loved. The son not my people, my people. Paul quotes this verse, Romans 9, 25, 26, to remind his readers that God will one day have amazing compassion on the nation of Israel. God hasn't given up on Israel yet. And you know what? He hasn't given up on you either. Are there things that you need to be sorting out with God? Maybe you just think they're little things. Maybe they're big things. Are there things you need to be sorting out with God? Then I urge you to do it today. Don't hang around in that self-imposed valley of trouble. You don't need to be there a minute longer. Let's pray.